attendees who have joined via teleconference, please place your phones or audio connection on mute until such time as you're presenting or asked to speak. When addressing the board, please announce your full name first. Be sure to speak clearly. Attendees who have joined via teleconference, please do not place your phone on hold or leave your audio unattended. If you need to leave the meeting, please hang up or disconnect your meeting web link and then dial back or click the web link posted on the agenda to rejoin the teleconference. Meeting logistics. The public is encouraged to participate in the meeting in person or by dialing the conference line or by clicking the web link listed on the posted agenda. The public may submit written comments to the board by emailing publiccomments@crescentvalleytribune.org. The public may also provide comments during the public comments section of the meeting agenda. Reasonable accommodation will be provided for any individual with a disability. Please see the accommodations notice. And as required by state law, SB 126, this meeting will be audio recorded and posted on the Charter School's website. Opening items, I will call this meeting Crescent Valley Public Charter School 2 regular board meeting. Operated by Desert Sands Public Charter Incorporated, a California nonprofit public benefit corporation, for Wednesday, March 8th at 5 p.m. to order. Roll call and establishment of quorum. I'll go ahead and just hear Ruth Newell.
Ruth Newell here.
Marvin Smith.
Here.
Dana Clark.
Here.
James Locke.
Here.
We're all present and accounted for, and we do have a quorum for today's meeting. Learning Center roll call. Is Vice Daria there?
We are here.
Thank you. Okay, Pledge of Allegiance. Marvin, will you please lead us in the pledge?
I will pledge of allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. We are now moving on to staff introductions, corporate officers.
Thank you very much, President Adams, board members. This is Jeff Brown, Chief Executive Officer. Good afternoon.
Thank you.
Good afternoon, board and all in attendance. This is Jerry Vincent, corporate officer.
Thank you. And school staff.
Good evening. This is Shelly Haynes, area superintendent.
Thank you, Shelly.
Good evening, everybody. This is Lindsay Voss, principal.
Thank you, Lindsay.
Hi, this is Jenny Boomy, assistant principal.
Thank you. And school legal counsel.
Yes, good afternoon, Bill Thompson, legal counsel.
Thank you, Bill. And advisors who are supporting the agenda items we're presenting today.
Hello, board. This is Gita Sharifi, CFO with LLAC.
Thank you, Gita.
And hi, this is Michelle Lopez, counsel with LLAC.
Thank you, Michelle. And any other staff who wish to introduce themselves at this time? Hearing none, we will move on to item E. May I hear a motion to approve the agenda for the March 8th, 2023 regular public meeting of the Board of Directors?
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, James.
Second.
Thank you. That was a motion by James Locke, second by Marvin Smith. Any further discussion? All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Passes with 5 yes votes. Item F, may I hear a motion to approve the minutes of the February 1st, 2023 regular public meeting of the Board of Directors? Thank you.
Second.
Thank you. That was a motion by Dana Clark, seconded by Ruth Newell. Any further discussion? All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Passes with 5 yes votes. Item 2, consent agenda. All items listed on the consent agenda are considered by the board to be routine and consistent with approved policies and practices of the charter school. The board will be asked to approve all of the consent agenda items by a single vote unless requested by a board member to be discussed and considered for action separately. There are two items on the consent agenda. Number one, the board will be asked to approve the 2023-2024 parent student handbook. And number two, the board will be asked to approve the 2023-2024 school calendar. Do any of our board members want to pull a consent agenda item for further discussion at this point? Hearing none, may I hear a motion to approve consent agenda items 1 and 2?
So moved.
Thank you, James.
Second.
Thank you. That was a motion by James Lott, second by Ruth Newell. Any further discussion? All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Passes with 5 yes votes. Item 3, public comment. At this time, members members of the public may address the board on any item within the subject matter jurisdiction of the board, whether or not the item is on the agenda. The time allotted for presentation will not exceed 3 minutes unless a member of the public utilizes a translator, in which case the time allotted will not exceed 6 minutes. In accordance with the Brown Act, no action may occur at this time. It is the board's prerogative to hold a brief discussion, provide information to the public, provide direction to staff, or schedule the matter for a future meeting. Are there any members of the public on the line at this time who would like to make comment? And I see there are no members of the public in the room at this time, so were there any written comments submitted to the board prior to the start of the meeting?
Hi, this is Shelley Fanfare from the Charter Affairs team to report that there were no members of the public who submitted written comments or have requested.
Thank you, Shelley. We'll now move on to item four, school reports and information. Item A, accountability update report, Sarah Luna. Sarah, are you on mute?
Since we're not hearing from Sarah, I will shoot her a quick text and see if she's having issues getting connected. Maybe we could go to Boggs and then come back to Sarah.
Sure. We'll go on to B, principal update, Lindsay Boggs.
Good evening, board. On the next slide, you will see a metric summary. I will be reporting and highlighting on ADA enrollment, credit completion, and our five rocks. ADA, we ended LP 8 with 94%, which is an increase from the previous LP. Current enrollment is 734 students, also an increase. And average credit completion overall is 1.46, which is also an increase from previous LP. NWEA, our participation for reading was 95%. Our spring NWEA administration concluded February 25th. Great job, Jenny and team. And our math participation was 94%. Performance growth for reading was 51%, and math growth was 62%, which is also an increase. CASP, our 11th grade ELA, 23% of our students met or exceeded on that test, and that's an increase by 3.94 since 2019. And on math, 0% of our students met or exceeded, but we plan to see an increase of our math score this year as we've added a math intervention teacher and we've increased enrollment in those classes. Our current grad rate is 49%. And our unofficial grad rate from last year is 93%. Next slide, Deanna. Enrollment has steadily increased and ADA has maintained over 90%, and we ended this last LP at 94%. Credit completion, this is a typical trend for this time of year. We plan to continue our efforts of increasing intervention enrollment to support students in accessing at grade level curriculum and utilizing social emotional learning supports to prepare our students to achieve academically. This is our number one student engagement goal as an LCAP and a WASC goal, and we continue to hire more teachers so our caseload numbers will decrease and allow for more credit completion. We're continuing to utilize grant funds to provide incentives for student attendance, which also helps boost credit completion as well. We've seen a 3% English language growth since 2019, and we are seeing more growth than our most surrounding traditional districts. You can see that comparison on this chart. And as I stated before, we plan to see an increase of math scores this year as we've added an intervention teacher. So here you'll see our parent meeting stats. educational partner involvement at parent and English language advisory committee meetings, including increased English language parents and guardians, as well as increased Fed parents and guardians. We plan to continue to hold events and provide a virtual option to encourage educational partner participation. Here you will see our esports team. Crescent Valley's third season of esports classes kicked off in February. These classes, called Life Skills Through Esports, teaches students about important life skills like communication, leadership, and problem solving while playing popular video games. Our classes this season have doubled in size, with each player being required to physically show up twice a week for practice, participate in life skill discussion and activities, and remain in good academic standing. Super proud of those students. And we have designated child-friendly areas for parents and students to bring their children while meeting with their teachers. Our HOPE program has grown, providing positive bonding opportunities for young families during our special events. This particular event took place before winter break. Parents and their children created Christmas wreaths, and then after painting, the children opened up educational gifts with their families. It was super fun. We had donations from staff and community members. And three of our Crescent Valley girls participated in basketball this season. They joined our Hanford team and competed against three other schools from our region. During each game and practice, they showed great sportsmanship and determination. And while playing with the Hanford squad, the girls made great friendships. We're super proud of these three students. And that concludes my report. I'll take any questions you have.
Thank you. Any questions or comments from the board? Thank you, Lindsay. Is Sarah on the line?
Yes, I am.
Okay.
Good evening.
Accountability update report.
Good evening, President Adams and members of the board. This is Sarah Luna with the accountability update report. First, I would like to set the stage for the accountability updates. The data collection protocol for certain California school dashboard metrics has been altered for DAS schools like ours. We are here to reassure you that though our school may be portrayed differently on the California dashboard, we are still the same school. The COVID-19 pandemic affected education services and student learning worldwide. In California, the pandemic also interrupted the statewide data collection, assessment, and accountability systems. The California School Dashboard is one part of California's comprehensive accountability system for schools that reports performance and progress in 13 different areas. Each area reflects the priorities of California's local control funding formula and the metrics required by the federal Every Student Succeeds Act. The last dashboard was produced in 2019, reflecting data from the 17-18 and 18-19 school years. Today's dashboard looks very different from its 2019 counterpart. The 2022 dashboard is a restart of California's accountability system. Since there was no data for the last 2 years due to the various effects of the pandemic, there is no way to show growth from year to year, which is what the dashboard is designed to do. The reason you won't see the colorful gauges is due to Assembly Bill 130, which requires us to only use current year data on the 2022 dashboard. Rather than colorful gauges, you will see purple cell phone bars to indicate the current year's status. The indicators you see on the left were reported on the 2022 dashboard, but CCI was not reported due to the lack of ability to utilize previous year's data. And on this slide, you can see an overview of the history of the California dashboard. And as you can see, we have yet to see a full California dashboard reported. The next few slides will go in depth into the changes and updates to the 2022 dashboard. One change is that the academic indicator federal participation rate penalty is much more detrimental to the school that does not meet the 95% participation requirement. Our staff have always understood the importance of ensuring at least 95% of students participate, and we will continue to monitor this closely throughout the testing window to avoid the need to assign a loss score for any missing students. On July 27, 2022, the U.S. Department of Education declined California's waiver request that would allow for the continued use of modified methods for calculating the academic and graduation rate indicators. As a result of this waiver denial, the 2022 dashboard will be the first dashboard without any modified methods applied to state indicators. So all dashboard alternative school status, or DAS schools, will be treated the same as all other schools on the dashboard. In addition to DAS schools being held to the same cut scores on the 5x5 performance level grid as non-DAS schools, the method of measuring graduation rate and CCI has shifted greatly. Previously, DAS schools were able to measure graduation rate using a one-year cohort rather than a four-year cohort. Both the graduation rate and the CCI are now measured by the number of fourth-year graduates from the class of 2022 as well as fifth-year graduates from the class of 2021. The CDE committed to calculating and displaying the DAS one-year cohort for 2022 and beyond, which will be found in additional reports which have yet to be released. And on this slide, you can see an overview of the major shifts from four DAS schools from the 2019 dashboard to the 2022 dashboard. And what does this mean for our charter? Well, most of our metrics that we share with you will not be affected, as noted on the bottom of this slide. Our CAS performance on the dashboard should not be greatly affected, and that we pride ourselves on ensuring that we continue to meet the 95% participation requirement. The main concern for our school is how the dashboard will portray us with respect to graduation rate and CCI, as those will now both be based upon the four-year graduation rate. As the four-year graduation cohort does not reflect the work we do and the students we serve, we will continue to focus on our one-year graduation cohort and ensuring those students are CCI prepared. We will continue to track this data internally and continue to grow in our practices to support students in our one-year cohort to be prepared for college and career. In addition to what you will see on the California dashboard, we will continue to report our one-year graduation cohort rate and CCI to the board. This does conclude the accountability update report, and we appreciate your continued support. If you do have any questions, I'd like to take them now.
Thank you. Any questions or comments from the board?
Great job. Thank you.
Hearing none, thank you, sir. Item C, California Dashboard Report, Shelley Haynes.
Well, I am very fortunate that Lindsay Boggs and Sarah Luna have covered every item on the dashboard already in their report. So at this point, I would just take any questions that the board may have as a follow-up to either of their reports.
Thank you.
And I would like to thank them both for their reports.
Thank you. Any questions or comments from the board? Hearing none, thank you, Shelley. Thank you, Sarah. Thank you, Lindsay. Legislative update, Bill Thompson.
Well, thank you. Yes, in your packets, you'll find that 20-page detailed summary of the 2022-2023 new laws. And as always, the legislature's been busy and done a lot of things. One of the things that Lifelong Learning Administration Corporation, our service provider, does for us, they keep track of these things and stay on top of it. And we're fortunate that Michelle Lopez has put this together for us. So, Michelle, could you go over it a bit?
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks, Bill. Let's see. Good afternoon. Enclosed in your board packet, beginning on page 104, is the summary of new laws affecting charter schools that were passed in the last legislative session. As you can see, the governor signed many bills designed to assist schools and students coming out of the pandemic. A few highlights include Assembly Bill 748, which requires schools to create and display posters that share resources regarding student mental health. Assembly Bill 185, which increased state funding to schools, and a requirement from Assembly Bill 58 for schools to update their suicide prevention policies. The legislature also focused on firearm safety and threats of homicide in schools through two bills, Assembly Bill 452 and Senate Bill 906. I'd also like to bring to your attention three bills that affect the board, Assembly Bills 2158 and 2449, and Senate Bill 1100. Assembly Bill 2158 is an ethics training requirement that now extends to school board members. This is the same training requirement that has been in effect since 2006 for officials in cities, counties, and special districts. All board members who are seated as of January 1st, 2025 must receive the required training by January 1st, 2026,
and then retrain at least once every 2 years thereafter. Second, Assembly Bill 2449 offers additional teleconferencing options under the Brown Act for board members' personal emergencies or for just cause. There are very specific definitions for these exceptions and limitations of use that are described in the bill. Finally, Senate Bill 1100 provides the board president additional authority for dealing with members of the public who may be disruptive at a board meeting. All the additional laws are that affect charter schools are included in your board packet summary for your review at your leisure. This concludes my legislative update report, and Bill and I are here to address any comments or questions you might have. Thank you.
Thank you. Bill, do you have any additional comments?
Yeah, Bob, are you on the line now? Bob Morales is thought he would be able to join us. He just texted me and said he will. He's teaching a class or something right now, but he really wanted to be here for this. I kind of told you a little bit about Bob Morales and his chief external affairs officer role at LLIC and what his team does. Let's hope he can get on, because yeah, he just texted me. He said okay. I'm not sure I've seen that. So what he and his team do is 30 new legislators elected because of term limits and because of different elections that take place, people leave office or come into office. There are a whole bunch of people to talk to, and that is the legislators themselves, or more importantly, their staff members. And Bob, as I mentioned, he had been a staff member for many years himself, worked his way around Sacramento a lot for a number of years. And he and a partner went into a consulting firm, and for a number of years as lobbyists, they consulted. So we were fortunate to have him join LLAC. And again, this is something that for a charter school to do itself would be very difficult, because you know, you have to be up there, you have to meet people, you have to go tell your story to people. He and his team do that with bringing students right along with them sometimes to explain what's going on, showing them videos, things of that nature. So if they don't see us as the threat that other people might say we are sometimes. And so if they instead understand that we're really helping students that may not have any place else to go as effectively, have children of their own, have two jobs, are aged out, we use that term, they can't go to the traditional schools. So we tell them that story, and he and his team go help them understand a little bit more about us. Unfortunately, last year, we did pretty good at no real anti-charter bills. This year, so far, so good. But he and his team are keeping an eye on that, making sure that there isn't some last-minute thing that happens. Michelle and Jeff and I are able to be weekly meeting on Monday, and we've done this every week for a long time. And Jeff can contribute something, Michelle, and I will, so will all the legislative advisors, so do the chief executive officer and the president of LLIC. There's a number of people on this call. So it's interesting to see the different things that come up. Well, hey, I heard this, or, did you know something was happening? And sometimes the group doesn't really know that, so it's been very beneficial. There are the three organizations, CCSA, A-Plus, and Charter School Development Corporation. Those three associations put on their conventions, they put out seminars, they do training all the time, they send stuff out all the time. Very good for us to have a place at the table, which we do with each of those groups, meaning that we interact a lot with them and we'll talk to them a lot. And they communicate with each other. They all kind of have a different focus, but they communicate with each other because, you know, you have your state-based charter schools, you have the independent study like we have the homeschooling. So everybody kind of has somewhat different interests, but certainly school choice is a big one. And you folks have been on the board long enough to know that now 10% of all the students in California that are now in charter schools, that was like a tipping point. And the other side really started getting concerned about that. Now, everybody's bucked up right now. And our thought is what's going to happen is when if you could deal with the deficit that surprisingly we had last year, they thought they had a bunch of money. Now, all of a sudden, they got a deficit. This is where it does become important for our legislative people to be really there, because the governor puts his budget in, which he's done. But the legislature hasn't up until like May 1st, I think, before it's finalized. So there's that period of time where there'll be a whole lot of talking going on. And again, Bob and his team will be there to help protect the school. So any questions about that process?
Questions or comments from the board? Everybody's on our side.
That's for sure. Mr. President, may I be excused? I have another commitment, and I will leave any comments I have to make in the capable hands of my credit officer.
Have a safe day.
Thank you.
Be safe, Jeff.
I really want to see the end. Thanks,
okay. Take care.
Any questions or comments for Bill?
Incidentally, I will be at the CCSA meeting next week, so just when he's talking to the
be safe, Jeff.
Okay, finally, just one thing. Link wasn't working for him. So that he really did, was trying to get on.
Okay.
Finance update, Dita?
Thank you, Board. So I'd like to bring your attention to page 125 in your PDF packet. This is just a document you're familiar with. It's just updated as of January 31st, 2023. On the top, you'll see the Hommy line of credit that the school has. And then on the bottom section, you'll see LLAC promissory note. So the only difference is that the Hommy line of credit interest has increased to 8.25% from my last update of 7.5%. The school has always met all the covenant and the ratio that we calculate that shows that the school continues to be qualified for the line of credit. The expiration date is June 3, 2023. We don't see any issue for the extension of the line of credit. LLAC's promissory note is at fixed rate of 4% for this fiscal year. So both of these two line of credits the school has access to if by any chance they need to tap into any line of credit. So this is just for the board's information if you need to access. And if there are any questions, I'll be happy to discuss. Thank you.
Thank you. Any questions or comments? Hearing none, we'll move on to current vendor list. Shelley Haynes.
Thank you again. For your reference, this is on pages 127 through 129 in your board packet. The attachment is a listing of all of the school's vendors, which are also on your screen, with a brief description of services that each of them provide. You can see that the list includes vendors who provide services like professional development, technology, our healthcare benefits. I have, along with the different departments, have reviewed the list for accuracy, and I'm just presenting that list to the board as an informational item for your review. And then also, this is a really good time to remind the board members to look over this list and review for any conflicts of interest. And if you have any questions or see any potential conflicts, you can reach out to myself or Bill Thompson, and we can answer any questions that you might have. And that's all for my report. Thank you.
Thank you. Any questions or comments from the board? Hearing none, we'll move on to item G, 2022-2023 board meeting dates. That is in your packet on page 131. The next two meetings are on Monday, April 24th at 5 p.m. at this location. And the next one is Wednesday, May 31st. At 5:30 p.m. at this location. Action items. Action items 5A. The board will be asked to approve the revised charter school accounting manual. Gina Schrinsky.
Hello, board again. So I'd like to bring your attention to the charter school manual changes. You can find the red lines on pages 133 to 138. You might see some grammatical or spelling check corrections, but that is not changing any content. The only two sections I'd like to bring your attention to is on page 99, we've sent the narrative recommendation to the board. We'd like to recommend to add board member travel reimbursement policy. This was not previously included in the accounting manual. And then on page 106, early in pandemic, we recommended to the board and the board approved to add coronavirus pandemic electronic signature. So during that period, until the pandemic ends, it was a temporary recommendation to add electronic signature instead of live wet signature. So as you all know, pandemic is ending March 16th. So since 2.5 years ago, we put a lot of controls and checks and balances in place. It actually, electronic signature has a good audit trail. So we like to ask the board and recommend to continue maintaining this policy indefinitely and just remove the coronavirus pandemic condition. If there are any live signature available or any individual available and accessible, obviously we'll get wet signatures. But if they're not available, we like to continue having this policy in place and using electronic signature. So these are the two recommendations to the board. If there are any questions, I'll be happy to go over. Thank you.
Thank you. Any questions or comments from the board? Hearing none, may I hear a motion to approve action item 5A?
Second.
Thank you. That was a motion by James Lott, second by Ruth Newell. And any further discussion? All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Passes with 5 yes votes. Item D, the board will be asked to approve the second interim report and revised budget for the 2022-2023 school year. Edith Schwiezy.
Thank you, board. So I'd like to bring your attention, if you're looking in your packet on pages 140 to 147, you can also follow me on the screen. As you see, this is Form 62 of California Department of Education. It's a second interim report for a fiscal year 22-23 for the school. The second, this report, the interim report, is the second financial report of the fiscal year. It shows the financial condition of the school after the first 7 months of the operations, from July 1, 2022 through January 31st, 2023. The report includes financial information and ADA projections. The financial sections include the original budget in column A, a second revision to the budget proposed for approval in column B, actuals to date in column C, and projected totals in column D that match the revised budget, as they both share the same data and analysis in their development. The financial section also provides projections to the school reserves and its components at the year end. We're now going to go and review some highlights. We'll start with the last page of Form 62, average daily attendance. At the bottom of the Form A, it shows the ADA used to develop the original school budget and the updated projection of the ADA based on the current enrollment trends, which is used to prepare the second revision to the budget and projected year-end totals. The school originally budgeted a P2 ADA of 620, and it is currently projecting a funding ADA of 708, showing an increase of 88 ADA that has a positive impact in funding sources that are based on current year's ADA. The first revision to the budget was based on projected increase of 50 ADA. So the second budget revision shows a higher revenue on ADA based on funding compared to the prior report. Now we're going to review, go back to the first page of Form 62, review revenues, and then I'll go over expenditures for the first 7 months of the year. On the second budget revision, most revenue changes included in the prior revision presented in the first interim report remain in place. They include a COLA of 13.26% for LCFF sources, same funding rates for SPED, lottery and mandated block grant, and the addition of the two-state multi-year one-time fundings of Learning Recovery Emergency Block Grant and Arts and Music Block Grant. In this revision, additional adjustments in revenue comes primarily from changes in the projected ADA and a reduction of approximately 33% in the arts and music block grant. Under the LCFF sources, that's the first item under revenue. shows a projected revenue of $11.2 million. The increase over original budget comes from the increase in COLA mentioned before and the increase in projected funding ADA. The second item is the federal revenue. It shows a projected revenue of $309,000. The decrease of $426,000 to $309,000 comes from a reduction of utilization of the federal funding ELO during this year. The unused funds of this grant will be available and spent and recognized as revenue in the future years. On the state revenue, it shows a significant increase from $720,000 to $2.6 million. That comes primarily from the increase in projected ADA I mentioned, as well as the two one-time restricted grants, multi-year state grants that I just mentioned. The new projection includes a reduction of funding from Arts and Music Block Grant, which is roughly around 33% of that funding. Under the other local revenue, it shows an increase of $34,000 that comes from interest and refunds. Now we're going to go over reviewing expenses. On the expense side, the school is projecting total expenditures of $12.7 million, showing an increase of $2.9 million compared to the original budget. And it is consistent with the increase in expenditures projected in the first interim report. Most spending categories show an increase due to the implementation of services related to the one-time restricted grants and an expansion of existing instructional spending due to the increase in projected ADA. Salaries and benefits show an increase of $2.2 million or 35%. The increase is due to an increase in teachers and classified instructional, technical, and support salaries. Projected totals of purchases show a slight decrease from $585,000 to $577,000. That's due to combination of an increase in instructional supplies and materials and decrease in equipment spending. Projected operating expense increased from $2.9 million to $3.6 million, and it includes increases in professional services, communication, training, and facility spending. After current projection of revenue and expenditures, the school is budgeting an excess revenue of $1.4 million. The net position section in first page, item F, shows a beginning net position of $2.5 million. With a projected excess revenue of $1.4 million, the school will end the fiscal year 22-23 with a projected net position of $3.97 million. Of this total reserve, $783,000 will be restricted and will be spent in the following fiscal years, according to the restricted grant plan. The projected ending unrestricted net position of $3.2 million will be equal to 25% of the annual expenditures. And this concludes my report. If there are any questions, I'll be happy to go over. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Any questions or comments from the board? Hearing none, may I hear a motion to approve action item 5B. So moved. Thank you.
Second.
Thank you. On a motion by Marvin Smith, second by Ruth Newell. Any further discussion? All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Passes with 5 yes votes. Item C. The board will be asked to approve using the auditing firm of Wilkinson, Hadley & King & Company, LLP, the 2022-2023 audit. Peter Schriesing.
Thank you, board. So I'd like to bring your attention to the full agreement in your packet on pages 149 to 156. Wilkinson, Hadley, King & Company, LLP is the existing CPA firm that does the third-party audit for the school. They are an approved California Department of Education auditor. Under the guidelines for the charter school, we must have agreement with a firm, a CPA firm that is an approved CDE auditor, and they are. So based on California Department of Education guidelines, every year they set out certain guidelines for scope of work, what the auditors should look for. So basically in their agreement, they have the scope of work, what they're going to go through doing while working and doing the third-party audit and the paperwork. So it's based on the CDE guidelines. So that's listed in this document, as well as on page 6 of the document, you can see the fees for the services performed, which is around approximately $12,000. And normally, they stay within the amount that they estimate, and the amount hasn't increased from last fiscal year. So that concludes my report. My recommendation to the board is to continue using Wilkinson, Hadley, and King for the third-party audit for fiscal year 22-23. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Any questions or comments from the board? Hearing none, may I hear a motion to approve action item 5C. Thank you. That was a motion by James Locke, second by Dana Clark. Any further discussion? All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Passes with 5 yes votes. Item D. The board will be asked to approve the board resolution approving board stipends, increasing the board member stipend from $450 to $500 for each board member in attendance at a board meeting. Mr. Thompson.
Well, thank you. In your board packet, you'll find the board resolution stating an increase in board member stipend from $450 per board meeting to $500 per board meeting for each meeting attended. The increased stipend takes into consideration the additional board member responsibilities incurred over the past few years, in addition to the amount of time needed for board meeting preparation and participation in other events required of your service as a board member. We've also considered the effects of inflation. We recognize and appreciate your service and diligence during the past few years, which resulted in your participation in monthly virtual board meetings, and we recognize the additional time and effort required by each of you as we transition into in-person meetings. As such, the increase of $50 per board meeting for a total stipend of $500 per board meeting is reasonable, and I ask that the board to consider and pass this resolution.
Thank you. Any questions or comments from the board? Hearing none, may I hear a motion to approve action item 5D.
Thank you.
There's a motion by Dana Clark, second by Marvin Smith. Any further discussion? All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Passes with 5 yes votes. Item 6, additional corporate officers and board members' observations and comments. Ms. Vincent.
Thank you, President Adams. I would like to extend our gratitude to the board and to the staff, to legal counsel, and to expert advisors who presented today. Thank you for your commitment to the success of our students. Thank you to staff for your commitment to the success of our students. Congratulations on the growth in the ADA. That's a good thing. That means we're serving more children. And with that, I'll turn it back to you, sir.
Thank you. Any board members have observations or comments at this time? Hearing none, we'll now move on to item 7, closed session. At this time, I'd like to request a motion to adjourn the open public board meeting to go into closed session for public employee performance evaluation under Government Code Section 54957B1, titled Area Superintendent. May I hear a motion? Thank you. That was a motion by Dana Clark, second by Marvin Smith. Any further discussion? All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Passes with 5 yes votes. We are now moving into closed session. Thank you. Okay, report of actions and recommendations from closed session. Board member James Lott made the motion to exit the closed session. Ruth Newell seconded the motion. The board voted unanimously 5-0 to adjourn the closed session and reconvene the open public board meeting. No action was taken in closed session for the public employee performance evaluation item. Moving on to item 8, closing items. The next regular board meeting date is April 24th, 2023 at 5 p.m. I will now hear a motion to adjourn the meeting. Thank you. That was a motion by Dana Clark, seconded by James Locke. Any further discussion? All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Passes with 5 yes votes, and we are adjourned. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Thank you.